Mark chapter 6 and verse number 45. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, the fourth watch. Look for that little phrase as we read the Scriptures. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch, and about the fourth watch of the night, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we look at this very sacred subject, dear God. And Lord, there's a lot of sermons that are preached in the course of a year. And Lord, from time to time, Lord, you impress it upon the heart of a preacher. Just go up and encourage your people. Just go up and remind them that even in the fourth watches of life, I'm there. I'm on my way. I'll show up. Lord, thank you for being a God that is particularly interested in people that are experiencing the fourth watch. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Preacher, what are we talking about here when we talk about the fourth watch of the night? Well, I did a little research, so rather than try to explain it, I'll just read. How about that? Thank God for copy and paste. And Jews, like the Greeks and Romans, divided the night into military watches instead of hours, each watch representing the period for which sentinels or pickets remained on duty. The proper Jewish reckoning recognized only three such watches, entitled the first or beginning of the watches, as mentioned in Lamentation chapter 2, the middle watch, Judges chapter 7, and the morning watch, Exodus 14, 1 Samuel 11. These would last respectively from sunset to 10 p.m., from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and from 2 a.m. to sunrise. So the Jewish people recognized three such watches. After the establishment of the Roman supremacy, the number of watches was increased to four, which were described either according to their numerical order, as in first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth watch, or by the terms even, that's the first watch, midnight, the second watch, the cock crowing, the third watch, and the morning, which is the fourth watch. These terminated respectively at 9 p.m., midnight, 3 a.m., and 6 a.m. And so the watch, the fourth watch, is identified by this portion of Scripture is talking about the first watch starting at 6 in the evening and going till 9 in the evening. That's the watch I want. The second watch from 9 till midnight. The third watch from midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And I began to think about the fourth watch. A couple of things prompted this message. I was working on my house. I'm kind of pecking away at putting a deck on my house. And I listen to a lot of music when I work. So I pull the vehicle up, put a CD in, and turn on good Christian music. And it helps me. I'll be honest with you. It helps me. I work better when I listen to good Christian music. And those Harris boys, did you get their latest CD? It's the second best trio in Indiana, the Harris boys. And they sang a song entitled The Fourth Watch of the Night. Boy, I get busy, so I put the CD in and I get busy, so the CD repeats and repeats and repeats and repeats until I realize I'm hearing the same song for about the 12th time, and then I go say, okay, I got to get another CD in there. So I got to hear them sing about that fourth watch of the night earlier in the week, and I think it was Mrs. Townsley that originally called in a prayer request concerning a missionary couple in the Dominican Republic. And a sad story. It broke my heart when I read about this, heard about the situation. But here's a young couple, several children, three or four children, I can't remember which. And the missionary man was in a situation where he noticed that four children were drowning. My wife got some more specifics on this. Four children were drowning. This missionary man swam out, rescued one child, rescued the second child, rescued the third child, and drowned in an attempt to rescue the fourth child. And I thought to myself, and I was talking to a preacher about this, a preacher that knew them better than I do. He called and said, "Had you heard about this?" And I said, "Just barely. Tell me the details." And he did. And he said this. He said this statement. He said, "Preacher, we need to pray for that young mother and those children. They're in the fourth watch of the night." And so I thought to myself, I'm hearing this song, "The Fourth Watch." And here this preacher makes this comment about the fourth watch. And then I began to think about that. And you talk about some dark hours, folks, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And I began to think about this and meditate on it. And the Lord began to minister to my heart as I studied it through the Scriptures. And the question that I asked myself is this: who in the world is awake from 3 a.m. in the morning to 6 a.m. in the morning? Why would someone be up during the fourth watch? What would cause someone to be awake at that time in the night into the morning hours? And I began to study this message, and as I studied the Scriptures, the answers to this begin to come, and I want to help you because some of you are in the fourth watch. Or you've been in the fourth watch. Watch this. Or you're going to be in the fourth watch, because all of us spend some time in that fourth watch. What would it take? What is it that causes a person to be up from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m.? What an odd time. The first thought I had was work. How many third shifters do we have in here? All right. Work. The Bible says that in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, "And he saw them toiling and rowing." And I want to say to you third shift workers, I graduated from your fraternity years ago. I did 6 years. For 6 years, I worked third shift at United Parcel Service. The last 18 months, I worked for UPS and RPS third shift. Literally would go into work in the evening time and get out of work as the sun was rising. And I appreciate you. I pray for you right before I go to sleep, Brother Levi. I pray for you. God wakes me up sometimes in the night, and I pray for our third shift workers. And I know what, you know, people always say, "Well, your body adjusts." Well, I did it for 6 years, and it never adjusted. There's something inside of all of us that has, we have this internal clock. And I can tell you this, folks, I could work through the first watch and the second watch and the third watch and do pretty good. But there's something about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. that whether or not, it doesn't matter how much sleep you got that day, something in your body is smarter than you, and it says, "Hey, dummy, you're supposed to be sleeping right now." And you have to fight. I used to have to fight sleep. I got a job loading trucks, and then the supervisor came to me and said, "I'd like to," when I worked at RPS, he said, "I'd like to change jobs with you, and I'd like to have you come up." And he put me on a platform where all of these, it was kind of a really pretty interesting situation. Every one of your boxes have a barcode on it. And they would go around on this individual, it's like a little train, looks like little miniature train trays that are hooked up like a train, and they would go on this conveyor belt, and they would read the barcode, and then as they went to the proper truck, that tray would tip over, and depending on what barcode, what address it was, it would go into the proper truck. And he said, "Jerry, you're working hard. I know you're trying to do college. I'm going to give you an easier job." And he took me up and he said, "All you got to do is just stand here as the boxes come by. Just make sure that the barcodes are up, and anyone that's not up, just flip it over." I lasted 2 nights on that job. I went to him and I begged him, "Please put me back loading trucks. I'm up there from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and I can't stay awake. I was afraid I was going to fall asleep, fall onto one of those. The machine read my barcode, flip me into a truck, and I'd wake up like in Alaska or somewhere, you know." I did. I said, "I can't stay awake just standing there. Put me back to work." Why? Because there's something inside of us that just says, "It's time to go to sleep." I haven't worked third shift for a lot of years. I did do it one night here recently. I decided I was kind of doing a remodel job at the house, and so The drywallers were coming in on a certain day at 8 o'clock in the morning, Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. And it was Monday, and I had a list of things that had to be done before they came. I thought, well, I got 3 days. That's not a problem. I should be able to do this. So I did a little on Monday, a little on Tuesday, and all of a sudden I realized Thursday morning, I'm in trouble. This has gone slower than I thought. And so part of Wednesday I worked on it, came to church, preached Wednesday night, got home. My wife helped me with a few things, and then it got down to the job guides that you just have to do. I said, go to bed. I said, as soon as I finish this list, I'll go to bed, but I can't stop till I finish this list because the drywallers are walking in at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I wouldn't look at the clock after that. I refused to because I didn't want to be discouraged. I wouldn't look at the clock. I just worked, and I had to get this done. And when I got all done, I thought to myself, and this would have been late spring, early summer, because it's quiet at night, and only people that like procrastinate like me are up at night that time of year. And the farmers, every once in a while, as I'm working, I would see a tractor go by because it was during planting time. I remember that, and I'd think I'm not the only one up. The farmers are out there working all night trying to get their crops in, So I got all done with my list. They're coming in at 8 o'clock. Finally, I can look at the clock, and I walk in the kitchen and look at the clock, and it's 5:15 in the morning. I expect a little more sympathy than I'm getting right now. I worked all night, a third shift, all night. I know. My first book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, you can ask my wife, was written for the most part in the fourth watch. The Lord would allow me to go to bed. I'd fall comfortably asleep. And that project was still in my heart almost every single morning between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd wake up and not be able to get back to sleep and go in and sit and work on my computer from 3 to 6, writing in that fourth watch. You know, let me just say this for the sake of the ladies. The men aren't the only ones that are the third shift workers. We've got a lot of third shift mommies in here. You got little ones, you got toddlers. Have you ever wondered, had this thought, will I ever get a full night's sleep again in my life? Will I ever eat a hot meal ever again in my life? Will I ever get 5 minutes in the bathroom uninterrupted ever again in my life? Now think of all of the times that some mother during the fourth watch was up caring for a baby and feeding a baby and maybe taking care of a sickly child. And so work and toil keeps us up in that fourth watch. And folks, during that fourth watch, you know what? Every single one of these things that would cause someone to be awake, there's something that Jesus shows up with just when you need it. And I got to thinking about that. How many nights did I work that third shift job? And folks, listen to me. I'm just physically exhausted going to school. Most of the time working a job and a half or two jobs, and just when I didn't think I could go, here comes Jesus bringing me strength. Here comes Jesus saying, you can make it. Here comes Jesus with just a little burst of physical energy. Here comes Jesus just to help me get through till the sun comes up. Moms, those long nights where you're carrying that baby around and trying to comfort that child, and you think, well, this night never ends. Here comes Jesus when nobody else knows, when nobody else is around to give you the strength that you need. What else keeps us up in that fourth watch? How about this? Worry. Worry. Matthew 14:24 talks about the contrary winds, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Mark 6:48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And you know what? There's a lot of times that if you find somebody up between 3 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know what's keeping them up? They're worrying about something. Come on. Tried to get to sleep, couldn't get to sleep. Got to sleep for a little while, woke up, and you know what? All of a sudden descending upon you is the problem or an issue or something that you're trying to figure out how to deal with. And so what? What happens? You lay there for a while. If you're like me, you think, I'm going to will myself back to sleep. But guess what? Sleep evades you. And so you know what you do? You get up and you begin to walk and you begin, yes, to worry. Let me help you with this, and I hope that this will help you. I had to kind of come to some things when it comes to this matter of walking the floor at night. And I want to see if I can help you with what God helped me with. But you notice that the Bible says the wind was contrary unto them. The wind was contrary unto them. Let me ask you a question, help some of you that are a little bit of a worry wart. Let me ask you this. Can you control the wind? I want you to ask yourself that in the next fourth watch when you're up worrying. Can you control the wind? Okay, if you can't control the wind, listen. Is worrying about the wind going to change the wind? Let me see if I can teach you something. I'm trying to think of a good way to do it here, all right? A man taught me this, and I think I'll explain a little different than he explained it to me, but he wrote on a piece of paper one time, and this helped me. He wrote a circle here, and then he wrote a bigger circle outside of it. And he wrote on inside the inner circle, your responsibilities. Then he wrote on the outer, bigger circle, your concerns. So in the middle circle, it says what? Your responsibility. Say it. Your responsibility. On the outward circle, your concern. Say it. Your concern. All right, let me see if I can show it this way. This platform is going to represent my responsibilities. Everything on this platform is my responsibilities. Everything off this platform is my concerns. Sometimes what we need to figure out is what is our responsibility and what is our concern. Okay. A lot of times I would waste time and worry about things that were my concern, but not my responsibility. And you know what I do? I drive myself crazy because I'm a problem fixer. That's how I'm wired. And I would walk the floor at night trying to figure out how to fix something that wasn't my responsibility, but was my concern. Now, let me just tell you what the difference is. If it is my responsibility, then I don't mind staying up and praying over it and asking God to help me to know what to do because it is my responsibility and I'm the one that needs to deal with it. So I pray and ask God for wisdom so I know what action to take because it's my responsibility. But a lot of times what I was doing is I was asking God for wisdom as far as what action to take. And the honest truth is, it wasn't my place to act. It wasn't my place to do anything because it really wasn't my responsibility. But because I love the people involved, it was my concern. So let me tell you how I handle the difference of those two things now. I ask myself, can I control the wind? And the answer is, no, I can't. You know what? There's some things that are out of my control, Lord. I'm concerned about them, but honestly, they're not my responsibility. So what I'm going to do is, if they're my responsibility, I'm going to pray and ask God for wisdom. And God, please help me to know the right thing to do because this is my responsibility and it falls on these shoulders. But there's a whole world out there of concern. And folks, if we're not careful, we spend all of our time concerned and worried and sometimes cause more problems by trying to fix things that really are not our responsibility to fix. Okay, if you're wired, listen, it comes from a good heart. It's not a bad thing. If you're wired kind of like I am, you want to fix everything. You want to help everybody. But you know what? You have to sometimes just say, okay, this is my concern, but it's not my responsibility. That doesn't mean that I don't stay up and pray. But you know what I do? I pray, and then I cast that upon the Lord. Because you know what? It's not my job to do anything but that. If it falls in here, I pray and ask God for a correct course of action so that I can lay hands on the situation and genuinely help. I hope that helps you. And what I'm saying is this. Watch this, folks. Here comes Jesus. When I'm working and toiling and I don't feel like I have the strength to keep doing this, here comes Jesus with strength. When I'm worrying, the winds are contrary and they're blowing me about, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. And here He comes bringing me some peace. You know what, folks? It's all right to walk those floors at night. sometimes over situations because somebody's got to pray. And somebody's got to come up with a course of action if their responsibility. But folks, watch this. Stop trying to fix things that's not really your responsibility to fix. You have to learn to just cast some things to the Lord. And so what keeps people awake from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. work? What keeps them awake? Worry. How about this? This is going to surprise you. What keeps them awake? They're just worn out. See, preach, that don't even make sense. They're just worn out. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, I'm too tired to sleep? Anybody ever say that to you? How many of you ever been too tired to sleep? Say, preacher, why were they up? Why were they up in this fourth watch? Well, I won't take the time, but if you go to Mark chapter 6, the first part of the chapter, you know what? They were involved in ministry all day long. They had just come back from scouring the country, being sent out two by two. They just come back from preaching, and then they were told by Jesus that they needed to get... Matter of fact, let's just go there. I want you to see this. Jesus even recognized, Mark chapter number 6, Jesus even recognized that they needed a break. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 7, He called them to Him, the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits and commanded that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and put not on two coats. And He said unto them, in whatsoever place you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, doing spiritual warfare, anointed with oil many that were sick, healed them, preaching, praying, fighting the devil, helping needy people. Now, if you will, jump down to verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, watch this, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. But wait a minute, watch this. 32:33, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people. Wait a minute, wait, I thought they were on the way to vacation. I thought they were going to get a day off. They've been busy traveling, busy preaching, busy fighting the devil, busy helping people that were in need, needy people, always needy people. And they're going to get away. And Jesus said, you need some time away. What happens? The multitude sees them. What happens? The multitude follows them. What happens? Jesus, ever the compassionate Savior, looks upon them and He can't turn away from their need. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, this was supposed to be a day off, His disciples came unto Him. This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away. And sorry, folks, I can understand that a little bit. You may think it's callous, but you know what? Remember, they're exhausted. They were on their way to get a little rest. And guess what? The day is far spent, and there's more need, and more need, and more need, and more need. And they come to Jesus and say, Lord, send them away that they may go into the country round about the villages. Let them take care of themselves for a while. What's Jesus saying? Verse 37. And He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? By the way, what did they spend the next several hours doing? Feeding 5,000 people. Going to the Jesus Christ, getting some food, going out and personally serving 5,000 people. I don't care if the day's far spent or not. It's not over yet. We're going to do one more miracle. We're going to help one more group of people. And you know what? Here they are in the fourth watch of the night. And you know what? They're still toiling. You know why? I believe they're worn out, physical, exhausted. Let me see if I can teach you something. And I say this from time to time. Please hear what I'm going to say. Every person has three gas tanks. Because we're a triune being. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And by the way, the work of God is, let me just say this, and I'll defend it. the work of God is the most taxing of all work. And by the way, many of you, most of you are involved in the work of the Lord. You know, if I go out and I engage in physical labor, you know what I do? I exhaust myself physically. If I sometimes sit down and have to engage myself in something mental, then I will exhaust myself mentally. If I do spiritual battle or work engage in spiritual warfare, I exhaust myself spiritually. If you're in the ministry, it's physical, it's mental, it's spiritual. We could go back and look at Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we could read and study the chapters leading up to this. And here's Elijah, and he's been engaged in spiritual warfare. He's been up on Mount Carmel. Physically, he's been taxed. Emotionally and mentally, he's been taxed. Spiritually, he's emptied himself out. And Jezebel sends a messenger to Elijah saying, "Go let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose, talking about Elijah, and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. What is it about God's men? When they get discouraged, they always find a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And then the Bible says this, "And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.'" What happened to Elijah? Preacher, what happened to Elijah? What caused this great man of God who called down fire from heaven to find himself curled up underneath a juniper tree saying, "God, kill me"? 3 gas tanks, all on E. 3 gas tanks, all on E. I'm going to give you some good advice, church. I'm going to help you if you'll let me. Watch this. You need to check your gas gauge. You need to check your fuel gauges. All right, come on, let's be honest. How many of you men are married to a woman who seems to not understand that there is a fuel gauge on the car, that has the courage to raise their hand right now and admit that? All right. Yes, okay. You get in the car and you're like, "Seriously? Seriously? Every single time? I know. Folks, there's a fuel indicator there. Okay? And let me just help you. Don't wait till it's on E to head to the gas station. I'm trying to use fuel and gas carefully here. I made a mistake of walking into Casey's one day, and she said, "Do you have gas?" And I said, "Yes." And it was an awkward moment. She just started laughing then. She, like, set me up. I said, "I had fuel." So I'm trying to be a little careful here. Mean woman that works at Casey's got the preacher, you know. "You have gas?" "Yes." "Okay." Fuel. There's a fuel gauge. Check your fuel gauges. Hey, husbands, let me say this. We need to be responsible for our family, protective of our family. You know, if you've got a wife like mine, she just goes and goes and goes and goes, and sometimes a good husband has to say, "Honey, let's check your fuel gauges. Come on." By the way, wives, thank you for being a blessing to your husband. Usually a wife will know quicker when we're closer to empty than we're willing to admit ourselves, gentlemen. Now, how many of you think it would be a good thing to do, a wise thing to do? I'm not saying we always do it. I don't. But wouldn't it make more sense when the fuel gauge got to about halfway or a little under, just to, in a timely fashion, go find a gas station? Can I say gas station? I don't know what else to call them. Me and Tristan went to a trip this summer to Arkansas. I was going down there to preach, and I said, "Why don't you come with me?" And we stopped somewhere to eat because I needed to get food, fuel, and I needed to get fuel for the vehicle. Well, we got to talking. I jumped out after we went to the Kentucky Fried Chicken and went right back on the highway. and didn't realize I hadn't got fuel. And then I looked down, and all of a sudden, I am like right on E. And we are on one of those stretches down there, Brother Abel, where, you know, there's gas stations everywhere until you need one. So that's not a problem. I got a Garmin. My Garmin will tell me where a gas station is. And I mean, it was like you either go back 45 miles or you go forward or you get off the interstate and there's supposedly this little gas station in this burg over there. Only when we went there, not only was there not a gas station in the burg, there was no burg there. And I mean, we're panicking. I'm panicking. You think this is funny, but I'm panicking. And I'm like, the only other shot we got is like 18 miles away out completely in the wrong direction, and I'm literally going on fumes. And you know what? You talk about stress. Folks, you know what you need to do? Watch your spiritual fuel gauge. Okay? At some point, listen, don't go until you crash and burn. Okay? Let me just help you, because I don't know how sometimes to relate it except to relate it the way, you know, listen, I give out a lot. I've had to learn for self-survival in the ministry that when it gets to about halfway, I better fuel up. You know how many good men in the ministry have ended up crashing and burning just because they didn't see it as an act of spirituality to take care of themselves? Now watch this. Taking care of yourself is not selfish. I take care of myself so that I'm in the best possible situation to take care of others. Are you listening to me? I hope you're getting this. And a lot of times what's happening is we get in those fourth watches and we get to the place where why is somebody up from 3 to 6? Because they are too exhausted to sleep. And you know what these disciples did? I mean, you say, preacher, but this is a need, and 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 this is a need. And can I tell you this? Brother Yeager, correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe your experiences is different, but I've never, at the end of the day, ever got to the bottom of the list of things that need to be done. And could I say this, folks? I'm sorry, because sometimes something you need is on that list that I haven't got to. But can I tell you this? I'm not going to be any help to you if I just decide, bless God, you know what? I'm not stopping until, and then guess what? You're out of commission and you can't help anybody. I'm giving you my experience. I want you to translate it into your experience of life. Hey, wives, let's take care of your husbands. Hey, husbands, let's take care of your wives. Hey, stubborn husbands that don't like to be told, listen to your wife. Okay? If I get overtired, two things happen. I start dreaming that I'm in Bible college. That's one of my fuel indicators. If I physically get exhausted, I keep dreaming I'm in Bible college. Because that was the period of my life where I spent the most time physically exhausted. When I start dreaming I'm in Bible college, I kind of like wake up and go, oh man, I got to get some sleep. I got to rest up here. Another thing is, I get cranky. How many of you get cranky when you get tired? All right. Can I say this? That's not a good attribute for a pastor. Preacher, could you pray with me about this? What? You know, that's not what people want to experience. Pastor, I need some counsel. You do. You think you're the only one with problems? I got problems too! I mean, that's not good. That doesn't work well in the ministry at all. And by the way, watch this. It don't work good in child rearing. And it don't work good in the business world. It doesn't work good with interpersonal relationships. And it doesn't make for a happy family. What I'm saying is this. Listen, I'm not making excuses for people who are lazy. But I am preaching to a handful of you that you keep letting your gas tank run all the way down, and then, you know what? You're not only just hurting yourself by doing it. By the way, you're not proving yourself to be a great Christian by doing that. when you get it down to about halfway, you know what? Spiritually, I give out a lot. Say, preacher, you said something about listening to spiritual music, listening to good Christian music. I spent my remodeling time listening to music and listening to preaching. You know why? I'm trying to get my gas tank filled up. All right, physically, watch this. Physically, you know what? I told Charlie Clark one time we were preaching together, and he said we were in Ohio, and it was late. We went out to eat afterwards, and I was going to go home. And he said, you're not driving home tonight. And this is back when I was younger. He said, you're not driving home tonight. It was about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, probably about 2.5, 3 hour drive. He said, you're not driving back tonight, are you? And I said, of course I do. I said, Charlie, I'm not like you. See, at this time he was a youth pastor. I said, you pretend to be a youth pastor, but really you're just a youth evangelist. And see, I actually have to go home and have a job. So I'm giving him a hard time. And he says, well, I don't think you ought to try to drive home tonight. I mean, he's getting perturbed with me. I don't think you ought to try to drive home tonight. They already got you a motel. Why don't you get a little rest? And I said, Charlie, I said, I'm not going to show you because it's embarrassing, but under this shirt, there is a shirt with an S on it. And he said, yeah, I know what it stands for. Stupid. Now, these are the kind of friends I have. Folks, what are you saying? Not everybody wearing the Superman shirt. That S don't always stand for super. And sometimes you look back at life and think, you know what? I kept pushing and pushing. And sometimes you think, well, the more I do, the more I'll get ahead. But there's a balancing point in the way that God made us. Come on now. Where we need to take care of the temple of God, our body. We need to take care of our spirit so that we have the right spirit to minister and help others. And we need to, honestly, there's a reason that I read. I want to refresh myself mentally. There's a reason that I listen to the right kind of music. I want to refresh myself emotionally. You know what I do? Watch this. I work hard at maintaining me. I apologize for that. That's not selfish. You know why? Because I've got to take care of a lot of young people. I've got to take care of a lot of responsibilities. And I have to interact with a lot of people. And so do you. And so hopefully God will use that in your life. Let me finish up. How about fear? How about this matter of watching? Why is somebody up from 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning? Because of work? Because of worry? Because they're worn out? Because of watching? Watching? That's why it's called the fourth watch. Somebody's guarding something. Why are they guarding something? Because they're fearful of something. Now stay with me. Watch this. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake and then said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Fear will keep you awake at night. If you get afraid of something, if you're watchful, if you're worrisome, fear keeps you up at night. We went to bed the other day. This happened this week, I think. All kind of running together. And Brother Chad had come over and he used his tractor, and then he had to run up to the hospital and get his hand x-rayed because he smashed it with a sledgehammer and wrapped it back up and went back to work until his mother and his pastor bugged him into going to get an x-ray. But he said, can I leave my tractor here? So it's sitting in my driveway. My wife gets up about, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning to, I don't know, do something. And then she comes back and she said, is there a reason that Chad's tractor blinker lights are on? And I sat up in bed. And my first thought is, somebody's trying to steal his tractor. She said, is the key in it? I thought, I don't know. I'm assuming. Well, I get up real quick and get my flashlight and get my gun so I can kill bad guys, you know, who are trying to steal. And I mean, I'm going out there like, you know, and it's blink, blink, blink. I thought, if that was on when I went to bed, we went to bed after dark, I'd have known that somebody came and tried to steal his tractor. And they didn't know what they were doing. I had this all figured out. They didn't know what they were doing. They hit the button, the flasher, they ran, and now they're waiting out there to see if we notice, and then they're coming back and steal his tractor. I got my flashlight, my gun, and I'm looking the situation over, and I find the button, and I'm kind of backing up, you know. Because they're bad guys trying to steal his tractor. So then I try to go back to bed. Then I think that I locked the garage. And I've got lumber stacked out there. And I took the key out of his tractor, but they could steal other stuff. And I'm laying there, and I can't go back to sleep. My wife, if she hadn't got up, I wouldn't have cared. So I get up. She said, I said, that's fine. Just go back to sleep. I just want to check on some things. So now I'm sitting in my recliner looking out the window. I got my pistol, my flashlight. I'm waiting for the bad guys that's going to steal the tractor to come up. I go check the garage to make sure it's locked. I look, count the lumber to make sure it's not missing. And I'm sitting there. And I like stay awake for like 2.5 hours. I can't sleep. Then finally, I just get so tired. I'm like, take the tractor, take the lumber, take whatever's in the garage, and I'm going to bed. So we're eating breakfast the next morning. Here, I've lost this sleep. And she says to me, I said, that was the strangest thing. I don't know who was messing with that. And she says to me, my wife says, you don't think a cat would have got on top of that tractor and just stepped on the switch? Why didn't you think of that? 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, no. No cat's going to do that. Cat can't do that. So then when she wasn't looking, I went out to look at the tractor. And all over the seat of the tractor and all over the control panel are cat prints. And right on the switch is a cat print. I'm up there for 2.5 hours with my gun and my flashlight trying to keep a cat from stealing his tractor. Watching, worried. You know, they say that 98% of the things you worry about never happen. And you know what the worry wart says? See, it's a good thing I worried. That's what stopped it. I don't know what fear you have, but you know what? Fear was part of the experience of these disciples out on that sea. And you know what? Aren't you glad that in the fourth watch, we've worked, we're tired, we need strength, and here comes Jesus. You know what? Here we are in the fourth watch, and we're worrying, and you know, here He comes with peace. We're worn out, we're physically exhausted, and sometimes He just says, son, lay down under the juniper tree, and wakes us up and feeds us. Go back to sleep and wakes us up to feed us. And thank God that God cares for His children. And here we are, watching, so fearful. You know, we can build things up into our mind and be so afraid about something happening. And you know what it boils down to being? A cat. Stepped on the wrong switch. That was it. Hey, I don't know where you're at. First watch isn't too bad. Even the second watch, that's not too bad. Third watch, some of you are in the third watches. But there's a number of people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's in the fourth watch. And I want to tell you this. Don't give up. The sun is going to come up. And by the way, when it gets to be just as dark as it can possibly be, and when it seems like all hope is lost, just keep watching. Because Jesus is famous for showing up right in the fourth watch of the night. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that You would minister very specifically to those, dear God, that are facing the trials of life. Lord, this old life is a veil of tears. Lord, there's a lot of things that we're just required to go through. There's some valleys that is part of our life experience. And Lord, we need You. And there's certain times, special times, dear God, where we just don't need You. We desperately need You. And Lord, You are watching them in the evening, in the first watch, and You are watching them in the second watch. And You were praying for them in the third watch. But You came to them. You came to them in the fourth watch. Lord, I would pray, dear God, for some of our folks that are in the fourth watch of the night. that in a real and very specific and special way, you would reveal yourself to them. Bringing them, dear God, the strength they need. Bringing them, dear God, the peace that they need. Bringing them, Lord, the rest that they need. Bringing them the comfort that they need, dear God, for whatever they're facing in life. Minister, dear God, to us in the fourth watch. We pray these things in Jesus' name.